Well, as I said, it's great to be here to see my favorite people. Miss Taylor, thank you so much. And I noticed she's here. I just about totally lost it. And you're one of my favorite teachers, and you've inspired me so much with your life. And as you've knowing the things that you've gone through and with the Lord is so inspiring, and it should be. And just want you to know that. So thank you. Of course, Carol and Amelia and all of y'all have done things that changed my life in your own little ways. So I thank you for that. I want to share something real simple with you because that's just, again, that's who I am. I'm a real simple guy. Meg Truman, first time I met her, and she gave me a prophetic word. You know, she is praying for me, and she said, "You're the guy where the rubber meets the road." I said, "Yes, ma'am, kind of." She said, "Yep, that's where you live." And that's really the truth. I'm not all that spiritual, you know, and I don't have these lofty thoughts too often. Every once in a while, I'll get one and get it confused. Mostly, I live life, and my spirituality is in that place of where I'm living life and trying to live out the Christian life as the best that I can by allowing Christ to live his life rather than me living my life. That was not here yesterday. It's weird. I've got like three churches that I call home now. You know, I came into the CEC in Fairfield and the church up there, Church of the Reconciler, and that's kind of like, I go there and that's kind of like I'm home. And now I come here and it's home. And I also have home in Tuscaloosa where I serve now. Of course, this is a church that I was consecrated as a priest. My first time of ever doing the Eucharist consecration was at this altar here. So this will always hold a dear or special place in my heart. But I do want to share, what I really want to share with you, it happened Sunday at the church in Tuscaloosa. It's a little small church, you know, compared to this church. It's like little bitty. The building's little bitty, and our congregation right now is little bitty, but it's awesome because our whole church, after Sunday service, goes to lunch together. Everybody. You know, and so that's like the coolest thing in the world, to be able to eat as a pastor, to be able to eat with your whole church and talk to them or listen to them talk amongst themselves and talk to you and stuff. And so I'm trying to make it my goal with them is to sit next to somebody that I can aggravate in some way or perhaps embarrass, you know, in some way, which that's really easy for me to do with almost anybody. But I was sitting next to a visitor. We've had visitors coming, and this lady's, I don't know how old she is, but she's probably in her 60s, I'm thinking. I cannot guess ages whatsoever. I have trouble with my own age, trying to guess it at times. Mostly I put my age at around about 8 to 12. You know, that seems to be my world. But anyway, we were sitting there, and and she has a ministry of her own of inner healing, and she's written some books and all of that stuff, which is funny that kind of a person would sit next to me to start with. You know, it just shows you the humor in God. But so we're sitting there, and we're just talking about different things, and I don't know why, but I just made a statement to her because we was talking about changing and God dealing with us and leading us and stuff, and we talked a little bit about some inner healing stuff. And I just commented to her, I said, you know, God loves you without any change whatsoever. God will never love you more than the day that you gave your life to him, which is probably one of the worst days of your life as a sinner because you realized it. In that moment, you realized your desperate need for something outside of yourself, and you had found that something that some of us look for in many different places was a man called Jesus Christ. But in that moment, you realized your desperateness. And he loved you just like you was. He did not ask for you to make any changes in your life whatsoever for him to enter into your life. So here's a bit of a question for you. Why are you trying to change your life so much? Most of us as Christians, we try to change our life because in the back of our head, unconsciously sometimes, but even consciously sometimes, we think that we will be loved more. Or we won't use that term, maybe. we would say, would be accepted more. Now, my great curse in my life has always been extreme. I mean, like, I'm the poster child for the worst case of feeling bad about themselves. I'm that poster child of extremely low self-esteem. So most of my life has been a life of trying to do something so that people would like me. I did that in work, you know. By the way, if you ever have a company, hire people that have extremely low self-esteem, because they will kill themselves for you. They really will, because they want you to like them. They want you to validate them and say, you are a good employee. And the more you praise them and the more you do, the worse they will be about killing themselves. I was so bad that I actually had a boss tell me, say, I don't want you to come to work for the next couple of days. You have got to stop. And I was like, but I can't. We've got work. We got this. And he goes, you're going to kill yourself. And then I won't have you. And at that time, I was doing a video production thing, and I was the guy. And he said, and without you, we don't have anything. He was smarter than me by far, you know. We all, I think, have done that at some point with the Lord, that we think if we just do one more thing, you know, if we read the Bible one more time, you know, if we read 10 verses, we'll be more presentable or liked, or really it's about love. See, I wanted people to like me, and what I desperately needed was someone to love me. And the only one that could truly love me, and I knew this when I met him, was Christ. Because if anyone else knew me as he knew me, there's no way possible that they could love me. Because I couldn't love myself. I knew the depths of my sin when I looked into his face and knew and come to know him. So the Christian life is like it's just weird. Because there's this one part here is that he loves you with zero change. And you don't have to change for him to love you and continue to love you. He will never not love you, no matter what. But because of his love, there can be this radical transformation and change that happens. But let me tell you, it has to be because of his love. It cannot be because of your insecurities. It cannot be because you are seeking his approval. You can't get any more. He's given you all the approval that he can. He can do no more than that on the cross. This here, he's done it all. He's given all. He didn't hold back any for you. So let's accept his love. And let's let his love be the thing, the instrument of change. Not our old wanting to live under the law of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and formulas and stuff. Because they all have to come to an end sometime. Because he loves us that much. He wants us to be totally set free from the law and sin and even death. He has set us free. So let us be free indeed by gazing into his face at all times and just accepting that marvelous, reckless, scandalous, unknowable love that he has for each and every one of us. And even the most out there person that we run into. See, at one time, and then I'll shut up, I was a Jesus freak. And if you was a Jesus freak, it was written in the Bible somewhere that you had to go out on the streets and you had to witness to everybody and everything. You know, the only thing that you was free to not witness to was things that ran away from you really quickly, which was most people. But you were supposed to witness to every single person, every single thing, because that was what you were supposed to do. And that's better than nothing. But you know, when I found out that the reason that I talk to people about Jesus is because he loves me, it's so much more effective, so much more better. And so that's one of the things that I do to embarrass some of our people sometimes when we go out to eat, is I try to sit at the tables in such a way that I can get hold of our waitresses. At some point, I'll ask the waitress, can I talk to you for a second? And then I will always ask them, can I pray for you? You know, not because I'm supposed to, because I want to slip in about Jesus, you know. Because, like, when I pray for them, I go, whatever their needs are, you know, I'll pray for that, you know. But I always pray that they would experience the radical selfish, selfless, scandalous love of Jesus Christ in their life. And all. Because that's the coolest thing in the world. That's the reason that I'm a priest. That's the reason that I'm a Christian. And that's the reason that I want to tell people about Jesus. It's not because I'm supposed to, like these Pharisees in this gospel lesson. You know, they were concerned about the rules being broke. You know, and Jesus tells them two stories, and the stories end in what? Rejoicing. So that's where the rubber meets the road with me. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.